those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com, this is Blogulator Radio.
This is Bridget.
This is Qualler.
We're skewering and fawning over all things television.
For the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. And happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everyone. This is a special spooky edition of the Blogulator Radio.
Spooky. It's your favorite holiday.
It is my favorite holiday, and it's my family's favorite holiday. And to celebrate, we are broadcasting from the spookiest place in the world. My
Chaska,
parents'
Minnesota.
Basement in Chaska.
Yes, it's very spooky. Although it's not as spooky as the Halloween capital of the world, trademarked Halloween capital of the world.
Anoka!
Anoka, Minnesota.
Pretty spooky.
Which you wouldn't believe for you listeners outside of the Minnesota region, but Minnesota actually has a very high density of ghouls and goblins.
Oh, it's
hot. Vampires.
Okay, so
mummies.
Qualler and I, because of the season, have been watching as many Halloween specials as we can, movies and television shows and all sorts of things.
Yes.
We recently watched Paranormal Activity 2
on Netflix. In the movie realm of pop culture.
Right, which we won't go into, but I do want to tell, just to give you an idea of how spooky it is where we are right now, that one of our two dogs followed us down into the basement, stopped dead in his tracks before entering in the room where we're currently recording from, and ran the other way. He refused to enter. His
I hope
tail
he didn't
between
see,
his legs.
I hope he didn't see a demon.
He saw demons for sure.
Well, yeah.
Other dog is here because she don't care.
She doesn't care. She bites demons.
Yeah.
Right in the face.
Yeah, right in your face.
Right in the face. Right in the face.
Yeah.
We do voices for our dogs. You all do.
That was her. We're not.
I mean, nothing.
They can't see us.
Yeah. So Bridget, we've watched a lot of classic shows that are Halloween themed.
Yes.
But to kind of kick off our episode and kind of talk about current things, I really want to talk about the new show on FX that we haven't talked about yet, officially. No, we've talked about it in development, Heaven or Hell.
Okay.
But it's here.
It's queer.
Yeah, I was almost going to say that, but you went there. Thanks.
Yeah.
American Horror Story.
Yeah,
AKA
Spooky Spook Spook.
Spooky Spook Spook.
I can't be bothered to remember the names of shows.
Yeah, especially names with such diverse and difficult to remember words such as American Horror Story.
Right. Spooky Spook Spook.
Spooky Spook Spook is as good of a name as it can get.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's obviously a horror-based show.
Uh-huh.
You know, spooky things happen. And in particular for Halloween, episodes 4 and 5, episode 4 aired last Wednesday, and episode 5 airs this Wednesday, is a two-part episode about Halloween that takes place on Halloween, which
yes.
for all the flaws that Ryan Murphy shows have dating back to Nip Tuck, you gotta admire sometimes how he just goes for it. They just go for it.
Yeah, it's ballsy.
You know, you take it by the balls and you say, I'm gonna make an effing Halloween two-part episode. I'm gonna do it. Anyway, what Bridget, what are your thoughts on the show to date?
On the show in general or the Halloween?
In general.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's fantastic. And when I say fantastic, what I really mean is crappy. In a way that's fantastic.
Yes.
Crappy is the wrong word. Bad, good. I don't know. Because I actually, like... So with starting with episode 4 for the first time, I actually started to think that it was an enjoyable show to watch, in that I cared about what was going to happen next and about some of the characters. Going back to episodes 1 and 2, it wasn't great in terms of, you know,
caring about things.
In terms of caring about any of the people, even a little bit. But, but it was an intriguing show. It's different than anything I've seen, and I'm a huge fan of the horror genre. So I'm happy that there is a horror...
As am I.
...television show. I was really looking forward to this. There's a lot of homage...
Yeah, we just picked up, I say we, but it was really you, picked up on the homage that was in the pilot episode that was actually an homage to Halloween, the movie.
Yes.
And what was, that was where the scene, actually, where Dylan McDermott...
there's a beautiful scene, spoilers, by the way, if you haven't seen this show.
Yeah.
Not that, it's hard, gonna be hard to spoil it, because it's
an spoiler experience. Alert. Dylan McDermott gets naked, masturbates, and then cries.
Yes, we AKA, call it a Dylan McDermott or a cryinger.
Right, or as Carrie Reisler pointed out to me, a Twitter follower of her called it a crysturbation.
Crysturbation?
Yeah, which
I'm going to continue to call it a Dylan McDermott.
I think
define him.
I do too.
As an actor.
It's a similar, yeah, that's really what he specializes in, is a McDermott-like scene.
Yeah, kind of like when you say, oh, I'm going to pull an MJ, it means you're going to make an awesome slam dunk. Is that a thing? No?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to pull an MJ.
It means I'm going to go like in I'm and...
Just dunk all over your face.
And dunk all over your face. And so if I say I need to go pull a McDermott, it means I'm going to go masturbate and cry. It's a little,
yeah.
It's sadder than an MJ.
But in a lot of ways, it's more honest.
It's his.
It's more honest.
Yeah.
How many? You're probably more likely to pull a McDermott than an MJ.
Me?
You as in... As in humanity.
I feel weird now.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So anyway, American Horror Story.
And I just want to point out that Dylan McDermott, the more I think about it, the more he's the perfect actor for a show that's so... varies so wildly in everything. And the seeds were sown... earlier in the decade in a movie like, let's say, The Messengers, where he inexplicably moved his family to a sunflower seed farm to get away from it all.
If you need to get away and just start fresh, the best thing to do is to have your own sunflower, is to purchase a sunflower farm.
Yeah, he's really the go-to guy for things that are about families that inexplicably move to houses for no reason that are clearly haunted.
Right, because we've got The Messengers, and now we've got this.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely. So anyway, Dylan McDermott. So if you haven't seen the show at all, maybe we should back up and just talk about it. So there's a house, and basically the house is haunted because over the years, tons of crazy murders has happened there at this house.
Right.
And each episode begins with a little shtick, kind of Six Feet Under style shtick. So at the beginning of each episode, we see one murder that happened in this house. And I think they're counting backwards, maybe to the first murder.
Well, that's not true, because the Halloween episode was what happened a year ago.
Oh, that's right. Shoot, there goes that theory. The first two went backwards. Well, it doesn't matter. Every is a murder that happened in the house. So I think that's kind of fun, because then we get to know the ghosts of the house. So we have our family who... consists of Connie Britton, Dylan McDermott, and some girl who's actually pretty good. No?
She's okay.
She's better than, who was in The Messengers?
Kristen Stewart?
Yeah.
I don't know if she's any better than Kristen Stewart.
Oh, she's a thousand times better.
She's different than Kristen Stewart. I don't know if she's better.
Kristen Stewart, if you're out there, your episode of The Hater would be the one that I would go on.
Bring back The Hater.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's been canceled, but bring it back.
It's already over?
Yeah.
Wow, that lasted.
I know.
So anyway, there's this family, and they go through a hard time, and Dylan McDermott's solution to that hard time is to have an affair. Connie Britton catches him having an affair, and their solution is to move to the opposite coast and buy a haunted house.
The one thing about your description, Bridget, is that it is a lot more clear than the show is in presenting these things.
Yeah, it's not clear that she catches him having an affair. It's not clear that's what he was doing. It's not clear It's clearly the house is haunted. That's pretty clear.
These are the basic things that I think are the structure of the show. But it's not... the show is very interested in lots of different things also.
Yeah,
besides
so
that.
So they move into the house, and so this house has all these ghosts. It's not just one group of ghosts from one murder that haunts the house, which I think is kind of interesting. It's lots of different ghosts from many different murders that have happened throughout time that are all kind of haunting the house together. So we're going to get not just the family story and then the ghost story, but we're going to get the family story and then the ghosts S apostrophe story. Mm-hmm. So all the story of all the different ghosts throughout time that have been there. And then the main ghosts or the people kind of in charge of the ghosts seem to be Jessica Lange.
Jessica Lange's Constance is her character's name.
And
She's kind of the ringleader of the ghosts, and we're not totally clear.
I don't think she's a ghost. I don't think she is. But I think she's the ringleader of the ghosts, and she has a daughter, Adelaide, who also is not a ghost, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
And then the maid, who is a ghost.
Yes, Moira.
Yeah.
Played by Frances Conroy Alexander Breckenridge.
Yeah.
I would say, Bridget, that I'm a lot more intrigued by all of the ghost stuff than anything to do with Ben and what's Connie Britton's character's name?
Vivian.
I'm a lot more interested in the
Ben
ghosts
and Vivian
than Ben
are
and
the
Vivian.
Living couple. The living.
Right.
Dylan McDermott and Connie Britton. And they have a daughter, Violet, who's kind of boring, but I like, I'm more
she's
interested in what happens.
She's better
than Kristen Stewart, and I'm more interested in what happens to her character right now than I am to the grown-ups.
Yeah, I'm definitely,
because she's in love with a ghost, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I'm definitely more interested in the ghost stuff, because, especially after the fourth episode, which was a lot more ghost-centric and a lot less Ben and Vivian-centric, the scene where Frances Conroy's character went to go visit her mother in the nursing home was the first, like, genuinely touching scene of the whole series, and totally didn't fit with the rest of the show, because it was a really beautiful and creepy, at the same time, scene, you know. Frances Conroy's character took her mother off life support, and then I think the ghost of her mother came and said, "Come with me," and it's clear that there's some kind of unresolved things that force Moira to stay on Earth and not move into the next Lost-esque realm, if you will.
Episodes 4 and 5, it'll be, take place on Halloween. And of course, we know and we learn in the show, but everyone knows this anyway, that on Halloween, it's the one day of the year where the dead can come back to life and they can walk the earth.
Right.
So all these ghosts in the show, this is the first time that they can leave the house. So we're kind of, if we're Vivian and, what's his nuts?
Ben.
Doesn't matter. If we're their characters, then we don't know yet, obviously, that these people are ghosts or that they're tied to the house. So there's a young man, Tate, that Dylan McDermott, who, is, of course, is a therapist who works out of his house. Ugh, that's totally something that happens outside of Hollywood. Please stop doing that.
Right.
Please. He treats a kid in his house who is a ghost, right? And that's why he has to be in his house. Mm-hmm. The maid...
Moira.
Is tied to the house because she's a ghost. She can't leave the house.
But she's also sexy and evil when Ben sees her.
Okay, so yeah.
Which doesn't
make a
whole lot of sense in the context of her Frances Conroy character.
Okay, but remember in the pilot episode? So in the pilot episode, if it sounds scattered, it's because the show is.
It's so scattered.
It's
basically
a lot
like
of fast cuts.
I imagine the writer's room is a lot like us kind of talking about the plot, and then Murphy and Falchuk just writing the script as they were talking like this.
In shorthand?
Yeah.
So in the pilot, Jessica Lange says something to Frances Conroy's character, says, "Don't make me kill you again." So we know that she's a ghost.
And in the third episode, they explain what happened, which is that... Constance shot her in the eye. So yes, she is a ghost.
And but was it? We know that. But so we know she's a ghost. But she's also said something like it's always the old whore who acts like a prude or mm-hmm. something like that. So
there are
so Frances Conroy is two people. She's her older, kind of sad. Frances Conroy. So
right.
Moira is two people. She's sorry, so good. And then she's the younger, hot, sexy.
Mm-hmm.
What's that actress's name?
Alexander Breckenridge.
Alexander is a boy's
Alexandra.
Name.
Alexandra.
Okay. And only Dylan McDermott sees her as the young, sexy person. Mm-hmm. But I actually don't think it doesn't fit, because I think that, you know, that was her when she was younger and when she maybe did things that got her killed, for sure. example. Sure. And now she's older and, okay. you know, can't leave.
Okay.
And probably her job, sent there by Jessica Lange, to seduce men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who drift, right?
Probably.
So anyway, she's an interesting character. Jessica Lange is an interesting character.
And another surprising emotional plot that happened in the fourth episode that in the first three episodes felt like kind of insensitive plotting is Constance and her daughter. What's her daughter's name?
Adelaide.
Adelaide.
Who has Down syndrome.
And, yeah, and Adelaide's character was played mostly for, isn't it spooky for someone to have Down syndrome?
Yeah.
In the first three episodes.
It made me
but in the fourth episode, it was a surprisingly touching mother-daughter, sort of Mommy Dearest-esque. I would say more than sort of Mommy Dearest-esque. Definitely very Mommy Dearest-esque, but in a touching way.
She's good at it.
So, yeah.
In a touching way. It was Mommy Dearest-esque in a very touching way.
Yes.
And Adelaide is a character who I'm starting to have a lot of sympathy for, because at first she just seemed evil and spooky herself.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's...
It's clear she's...
becoming a sympathetic character.
Right.
Jessica Lange, we know at least, I think, had... So she said at... early on that she had 4 children total, or was it 5 children? She had all these children, and Adelaide is the only one who survived, and I think the twins who are ghosts that haunted, I think those are her twins, mm-hmm. her children.
Yeah.
So I think all her other children are ghosts. So maybe that's what is somehow tying her to this house. We're not really sure. I'm excited, though. The first episode I was like, okay, this is great, because it's so fucked up, I can't believe... So many things happened in the pilot. We've only told you guys, like, 2 of the plots.
We didn't even talk about
the GIMP yet. 5 plots that are happening. And,
I haven't talked about the GIMP
at all. Do you keep calling him the GIMP?
Because that's what he's similar to the GIMP character from Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
And he wears a GIMP suit.
It's not a GIMP suit.
Well,
doesn't GIMP mean that you walk funny?
I don't know.
Are we offending people?
I don't know. It's you know what. You know what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on, and I don't even know where to go, but it's... the first episode, I was like, I can't believe all this stuff happened, and it's just the pilot, and it's really effed up, but I love it.
And then the second episode was... It was like a season finale, because more crazy stuff.
Crazy non-ghost-related stuff
happened. So exhausted after watching the first 2 episodes in a row, I felt like... I kind of felt nauseated.
We all vomited, and then we Dylan McDermotted.
Yeah. Well,
and then we MJ'd. And yep. And I missed the third episode, but the fourth episode, things I feel like are kind of slowing down.
Kind of leveling.
So I wonder if the first couple episodes are crazy because they felt like they needed to give us all this information about the house and these characters.
Which is totally unnecessary, but okay.
But now it's starting to kind of slow down, and they're starting to take their time to actually develop some interesting stories and interesting characters, and I'm excited to see where it goes. But yeah, the Frances Conroy, she's a ghost. It's Halloween. She asks if she can have Halloween off to visit her mother, because of course that's the only day she can go visit her mother, because she's a ghost. Right. She can't leave other days. So she goes to the nursing home, and first of all, that's a really sad scene, because she walks by...
Yeah.
An old man whose catheter is hanging out, and everyone's just, like, not taking care of it all. And, yeah, that's when we see... I know we talked about this already. I'm reiterating what was the first really touching scene for me.
That's touching for me, too.
Adelaide is trick-or-treating and gets hit by a car.
And is it clear that... Is it Is there a question, or did I misread it, or was it more clear that she did that because she was tired of seeing ghosts?
What?
That it was a kind of a purposeful, I'm doing this because I can't take all these ghosts anymore.
I didn't think it was on purpose.
Okay. We can assume that she's not really dead, though, right?
I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. So like Ryan Murphy's other shows, Nip Tuck, Glee, there's something very inherently watchable about this show that I don't know that it's ever going to be like a great show, but I'm happy that it's showing more than just the kind of crazed one note that it was showing in the first couple episodes.
Yeah, I think by episode 4, I would say it's getting to be as good as maybe season 2 of Nip Tuck. Season 3 of Nip Tuck. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say parts of the 4th episode were as good as the good moments of Nip Tuck.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, the really good season of Nip Tuck was the first season.
Yeah, but as Chris is learning as he's rewatching that on theblogulator.com, that it wasn't really as good as we thought.
Okay. It was. Well, so maybe
but
fair enough.
Yeah, it's no, we're probably going to watch it every freaking week.
I'm definitely giving it all of this first season.
And yet you won't watch The Vampire Diaries with me.
It's boring.
It is so not.
It's boring. I don't want to watch vampires unless they're going to have crazy hot adult sex.
Which they do on this show.
They're not adults.
They are so adults.
It's not Eric Northman.
Oh, God.
He's sexy.
Whatever. Ian Somerhalder is way sexier.
Than Eric Northman?
Yeah.
Than Alexander Scott.
Overrated.
Whoa. Bad slip. Alexander Skarsgård is overrated?
Yeah.
I don't even know you.
What do you mean you don't even know me? I don't like True Blood. You know that.
I thought we could at least agree on the hotness of Alexander Skarsgård, though. Eh. Really? Eh? Have you seen his arms?
I'm talking more his character. I guess what I'm saying is Ian Somerhalder in Vampire Diaries has charisma, and he says things in a Kevin Williamson-style way.
I do like Kevin Williamson.
So please watch it.
I've been half-ass watching it with you, and nothing has grabbed my attention so far.
All right.
A raven, that's scary.
Well, as Carrie Reisler, name-dropping her constantly in this podcast... I apologize, Carrie.
Waller loves Carrie Reisler. We get it.
It gets better, so I trust you, Carrie.
And I trust Kevin Williamson. Kind of. Speaking of Kevin Williamson, so we just gave you tons of spoilers, and we so far we're given 2 tentative thumbs up to American Horror Story.
Spooky, yeah,
we'll give it at least the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And we hope that it. I hope at least. I think we
watch
it
if you like stupid stuff.
But it's entertaining. It's watchable. Although we watched the first 2 episodes with a group of friends. Chris hated it.
Chris really hated it.
Another of our friends hated it. And then 2 other people loved it. So I think the votes were completely
It seems to garner that love-hate type of thing that Glee does so well.
But I think if the 4th episode is in any way...
And we haven't even touched on Ben's relationship with the woman who at the end of season 4 seems to have turned into a zombie.
Oh my gosh, and we forgot to say, episode 4, not season 4.
Yeah,
zombie or possessed or something.
Zombie or possessed, does it matter?
We forgot to say what the homage to Halloween was, which is how we started this rambling.
Right.
Okay, so after Dylan McDermott has a Dylan McDermott, which happens after he sees the young, hot Moira touching herself instead of the old Moira that everyone else sees, he goes to his window and has a cry jerk, a cry-sturbation, and then is looking out his window, and there are sheets hanging in his yard, and Half-Burn Face,
who's
also on True Blood, Connections, what's his name?
Dennis O'Hare.
In the sheets in the backyard looking up at him, which is an homage to Halloween when
Jamie Lee Curtis
is on the phone and looks out her window and there are sheets hanging up in the same way, and there's Michael Myers standing in the sheets 1 second, and of course the next minute she looks back and he's gone. So
yeah, we haven't.
I like that there are a lot of moments like that.
And I want to point to those. Yeah, and I want to point to those moments and say, that's not hacky, because it's more of a use of other media in a mashup culture style way rather than a ripoff way.
Yeah, although I would definitely not call it ripoff, because I think.
Although I know it's not, and I know that it's probably not their intention. I don't care.
Well, I think it's wouldn't be.
It doesn't really matter what their intention is. It would be their intention,
because, I mean, it's called American Horror Story.
True.
So I can't help but think about Chris's sort of analysis of A History of Violence. Wasn't he the one who said that it was a history of violence on film?
Right.
So I feel like this American Horror Story is all these little kind of cheesy, campy moments, and some that even seem to be lifting. I think at one point in the episode 2, they actually use the music from Psycho.
Yep.
So all these little moments, I don't find them cheesy or hacky. I find them to tie in with the point or whatever of the series itself, which is to be an American Horror Story, and I hope that's the way that it keeps going.
I hope so.
And when you can watch it that way and you're somewhat removed in the sense of wanting to watch it like it's a realistic thing, kind of the way that you could watch A History of Violence,
kind of I think it makes it a lot more enjoyable. If you take off your Breaking Bad, Mad Men, TV critic hat and put on your...
I'm about to get fun!
Yeah.
What? Your MJ hat.
Your MJ... Yes, your Michael Jordan hat.
And then dunk all over their asses.
Right. Then you can properly put American Horror Story in its proper context.
Yeah.
So
from American Horror Story to Kevin Williamson...
Are we done talking about...
We are done.
Okay.
And the credits are great.
Yeah, I love the credits. Love the credits.
From American Horror Story to Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
First of all, it's Halloween. It's my favorite holiday.
It is.
I love it. I look forward to it all year the way many Americans look forward to a thing called Christmas, I think.
What's Christmas?
Overrated. And I wanted to... And I always get kind of ticked because almost every show I like has a Christmas special. That's just a given. But not as often do series on television decide to do Halloween specials, so when they do, I like it a lot. Right. And I wanted to watch some Halloween TV, so Wikipedia has a page that some nice folks put together of all the Halloween specials of different television shows, and I think it's organized by genre and then alphabetically. So we look to Dawson's Creek, and according to Wikipedia, there are 2 Dawson's Creek Halloween episodes. One is called 4 Scary Stories. It's in season 5.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is called Walking Dead Girl, and that's in season 6.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about 4 Scary Stories.
Now, first, was Kevin Williamson involved in either of those seasons?
No.
Not at all?
He was gone after the second season.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
All right. 4 Scary Stories is...
it's the story of well,
it's a story James Vanderbeek. Within a story. What is the literary term for that? Framing?
I don't know. Chris, English teacher, help us out. So it's one of those stories where they're all sitting around and they're talking about when scary stuff happened to them.
Well, it starts with Joey, Pacey, and Jack arriving home one dark and spooky night to Gran's house. And Pacey and Jack are trying to scare Joey, and they're all, oh. And they do the whole, like, oh, you think that's scary? I've seen scary things. So then they each tell a story trying to out-scare each other.
So this is clearly an episode where they had to cut the budget because there's no James Vanderbeek and there's no Michelle Williams.
Yeah, there was Michelle Williams.
Was there?
Yeah, we just fell asleep.
Oh.
She was the last scary story.
Okay. Well, so nothing spooky happened to James Vanderbeek? And it totally ended Vanderbeek?
I don't remember if there was a James Vanderbeek.
By this point of the show, James Vanderbeek was doing... Dawson Leary, sorry, was off doing his own thing so much and, like, living in his own TV series that it didn't really matter. Anyway, right. Sorry, go ahead.
He wasn't making the TV series yet. He was doing movies.
No, what I mean is James Dawson Leary's character basically was doing his own thing completely outside of the realm of what the other characters are doing.
The other kids in the creek. Okay, right. Yeah. So, yes, Michelle Williams was the last scary story, and she, it ended in a very I Know What You Did Last Summer way.
Love it.
Freeze frame, glass shattering. And no solution. Resolution. But, no, the first story Joey told, she was in a library, and it was basically, so I was in the library last Halloween, and I was all by myself, and I almost got attacked and totally raped.
You would think that that would have come up another time.
Right, right. And, but she resolved it by totally kicking the guy's ass and then said something to the effect of, guess those kickboxing lessons really came in handy. And it was just weird. And I don't think Kevin Williamson would have let that happen.
No.
I think he's rolling in his grave.
Probably. He's dead.
To Dawson's Creek.
Well, yeah. He was dead to Dawson's Creek a long time ago.
But, yeah, and then Pacey, there's a car something. Headlights, I don't remember.
I'd say this was the weaker.
Jack, there was a ghost in the frat house that he talked to.
Okay.
And then Jen, something scary at the radio station.
I'd say this is the weaker of the two Dawson's Creek official Halloween episodes.
Oh, but I actually like it better.
Really?
Yeah, I like when Dawson's Creek does the, we're not going to advance the plot at all this
week.
We're just
like going to
do something totally random.
And I'd like to point
like
out,
like, for, what was the one in season 2, I think, called Four Stories?
Oh, it's one of those seasons where it's just about, I really like that episode too, where it's kind of in Treatment-esque, mm-hmm. where each scene is just two people talking to each other. The one where it's like Joey and Pacey
mm-hmm.
talking to each other at the ski resort about sex and love and life.
Let's watch that.
Let's watch that when we get home. Yeah. Yeah. No, I do like episodes like that of Dawson's Creek, but I did enjoy that segment of I could probably watch like Dawson Creek character short films of like Joey goes to a library and beats somebody up. I could watch like short films of
Jen goes to the market, meets a man.
Right, I could watch. I think there is a market out there for Dawson's Creek characters shorts.
Yes.
Make it happen, Kevin Williamson.
So the second, that was season 5?
Yeah.
The second Halloween episode.
And I'm surprised that they didn't, before we get to that last episode, I'm surprised they didn't classify the, was it called The Scare in season 1? That was
because
more of a Friday the
13th? I would not classify it as a Halloween episode because it doesn't take place around Halloween.
Okay. Okay, that's fair.
It didn't air around Halloween.
It was definitely Kevin Williamson when he was still involved with the show. It was his, perhaps it was his stab at utilizing his screenplay writing
skills. Oh yeah, it was Winky.
Yeah. Anyway, season 6.
Season 6, it was Walking Dead Girl, and this episode heavily involved Dawson, and it involved your favorite kind of Dawson plot, Qualler.
Yes.
Which is
Dawson being a detective and very procedurally CSI style Dawson looking at video footage of things with people and
solving the mystery
by interviewing people and talking to them and like very like Horatio from CSI Miami style Dawson Leary.
Yeah, that's definitely another thing that needs to happen is a spinoff starring James Vanderbeek as Dawson Leary.
Right.
When he decided to solve crimes.
Yeah.
Like maybe a filmmaker by day, renegade crime solver.
I would say that.
And he somehow can use the filmmaking to help him solve crimes, which is what he did in this episode. So he's working. This is the season where, at this point in the season, he's working on a movie, and it's a horror movie, I think, for some director, and he's dating one of the actresses, and of course there's a rumor about a ghost on that set or something, and so he's trying to figure out the mystery of the ghost on the set, and he's seeing this mysterious woman, the Walking Dead girl, and in order to solve this mystery, he's like going through old like footage and interviewing people involved with the movie, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Turns out there was no ghost. It was just his girlfriend and the director playing a hilarious prank. So
but then at the very end, there was one last scare.
Oh, yeah.
There's always got to be one last scare.
And then, meanwhile, Joey was babysitting.
Boring.
And dating that guy who was obviously wrong for her. She's obviously going to end up with Casey. But, yeah, and then Jen was trying to date that guy at the Teen Crisis Center. He's not gay. But
he wasn't gay, but we thought.
She thought he was. Well, she, yeah.
The only good part of that plot.
That was a weird time in Jen's life. I didn't like that.
The only good part of that plot was that she was wearing a black-haired wig. And Michelle Williams is really hot with black hair.
Yeah, super hot.
Super hot.
Paula and I actually had to pause it and have a couple Dylan McDermotts.
Yeah, but without the crying.
No.
A little crying.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest. And then Pacey and Audrey. Of course, Audrey now is famously known as Busy Phillips. From TV's Cougar Town.
She's known as Billy, famously known as Busy Phillips now. Yeah.
She was.
She didn't have a name before.
She
it was just
Busy
Audrey.
Phillips
but
before. She
another,
still has Busy
another
Phillips.
Another Qualler's favorites.
Yeah. But, and I forgot that before Busy Phillips was on Cougar Town, that she was a decent dramatic actress.
Yeah.
She was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
And that's actually a really painful scene when she and Pacey break up. Dressed as Sid and Nancy.
That's less about the horrors of the supernatural and more about the horrors of everyday life.
The horrors of love.
Right.
Because they were gravely
sometimes
wrong for each other.
The most horrifying things are the things that happen in love.
Sometimes the tales of the heart can be the most chilling.
Yes.
Vampire Diaries.
That's better. Shut up. Vampire Diaries.
So two episodes of Dawson's Creek. We liked them a lot. We also found some episodes of Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were quite a
Fantastic.
Few Cheers Halloween episodes, and we only watched two. They were from earlier seasons. Season 3 and 4. The first was called Fairy Tales Can Come True, I believe. And it was a Cliff episode? A Cliff-heavy episode?
Oh, God, I love Cliff Clavin so
much.
And
I got so sad for Cliff, because he should have love.
He should have love. He's such a nice guy.
Weird.
He's a strange man. Very strange man. An odd duck. But is he any more odd than your Norm, your Sam Malone, your... Yeah, I guess he is.
So Cheers has a Halloween party, which, first of all, I like Halloween episodes of TV shows where they're actually throwing a Halloween party.
Me too.
And especially when it happens in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like the late 80s did Halloween, like, or the, I guess it was going to be mid-80s? 80, was this an 8 episode
Halloween
from 84,
style,
I think?
Yo.
Yeah. A lot of sleeveless shirts and a lot of saxophone.
Yeah.
And it always makes me want to watch St. Elmo's Fire whenever I see an 80s Halloween party. So Cheers had an awesome Halloween party, and Cliff meets a girl, and it's kind of a sweet
episode.
He's
dressed as
Ponce de Leon.
Ponce de Leon, oh.
And she's dressed
just adorable.
As Tinkerbell?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cute. It was sweet. It was touching. The second Halloween episode was way less Halloween-y and just seemed scary, but I'm sure... See, I don't know the criteria, but I'm wondering if the episodes... had to, like, air around Halloween originally, which is maybe why the scare didn't make it the cut.
Yeah, I'm assuming that this aired, it was, like, episode 6 of season 4.
So?
And it's what is called Diane's Nightmare.
Yeah.
Diane had nightmare within nightmare within nightmare.
Yeah.
Which, well, one of them was kind of scary, where she... the guy who tried to kill her in an earlier season came back, but don't worry, it was just a nightmare. But then there was a
spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler. It's okay, we're talking about it. I really liked the scene though where Diane was having a dream where Sam was really sophisticated.
Yeah,
I laughed so much.
Cheers, cheers.
Cheers is just such a great show.
It is.
It's just so. I laugh, but then I also recognize how smart it is.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it's very conventional in a lot of ways, but it's also very, very funny.
It's really weird watching the episodes with Frasier Crane on them. once we get to that part of the series.
Because he's not the Fraser Crane you remember from Fraser.
Right, and because... So we were too young to actually watch Cheers when it was on the air, but we definitely grew up watching Fraser. And it, so we know Fraser Crane as Fraser from Fraser, and it's really weird seeing...
My favorite.
Seeing other characters on another show refer to him like, oh, it's Fraser's here. Right. Because I keep thinking, what's this crazy fan fiction crossover someone did? Because I forget that it was a spinoff of Cheers.
And my favorite little nugget from watching Kelsey Grammer in early episodes of Cheers is that the way that he walks and moves around when he was younger looks just like Niles.
Mm-hmm.
So... Well done, casting. Well, good job casting, Frasier.
Yeah.
Everything always comes back to Frasier, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Williamson. Kevin Williamson, will you write the Frasier reunion show?
Oh,
I would. Because I would watch the shit out of that.
Be all over that.
Yeah. And could it be horror?
Please.
Could, like, something go wrong?
Please.
So, like, it seems like a normal reunion show, and then, like, halfway through, like, all the lights go off, and shit just gets weird. That's what I want.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. What other spooks, which is now what we use to refer to all
anything
scary
that's
things.
Spooky. Oh, man. What other things? What other
there
episodes
was some Boy Meets
there?
World Halloween episodes that we have not yet checked out, but I think we'll need to.
Yeah. You know, Roseanne had a lot of Halloween-themed episodes that we've watched, and those are all good.
As far as current shows that we love... Where was Parenthood's Halloween episode?
Oh, I know.
Because last year, and the year before, I think.
Do they have they had two Parenthood episodes, Halloween episodes?
Is this its, what season is
this
it in?
Third season.
I definitely remember one Parenthood Halloween episode. Maybe they didn't do one last
year. Modern Family had a Halloween episode last year.
Yeah.
That was probably the best episode from last year.
Was that the one season that had the Emmy nomination?
I think so. I think it was Emmy nominated.
Did they do it this year?
I don't think they did a Halloween episode this year.
So what's up, y'all? Are you going to air them this coming week?
You gotta have Halloween.
Maybe they'll air them this coming week?
Maybe. But by then it's too late.
Not too late.
Halloween is today, Bridget.
Yeah, but see, I don't understand why you can celebrate a holiday like a week early, but you can't celebrate it like 2 days after.
Because once it's over, it's over.
But proximity to the day,
I know,
isn't that what counts?
I know, no. To me, what counts is... What, Christmas on December 26th, you're as far away from Christmas as you're going to be.
No, that's not true.
That's how I feel.
Because you can only see time as linear.
Well.
And I'm sad for that. For you.
I hope I can see it the other way someday.
I think that about wraps it up for us.
Yeah.
Spooky, spooky, spook, spook,
spooky,
spook.
Spooky, spook, spook. Hey, if you want to watch some of these Halloween episodes or more episodes or movies like Paranormal Activity 2 that we talked about earlier, we are teaming up with Netflix at the Fancy Pants Gangsters Network. You can go to bit.ly/blogflicks, and you can sign up for a 2-week trial membership with Netflix, and when you do that, you also support our podcast and other podcasts on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. So please do that. If you're not on Netflix already, please check it out. In doing so, you get to watch a whole bunch of really cool stuff at your fingertips, and you also support us. So thank you so much.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
Do it.
For all of us at theblogulator.com, this is Qualler.
And I am Bridget.
And our
opinions
are
valid. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
I remember it right. And we had just gotten back off tour last night.